Welcome to Island Christian Church. Today we're in a series called The Storm-Tossed Life. We will explore why God created us to be in relationships and why they wield so much influence in our lives. Along the way, we will uncover practical tools that help anchor you, your family, and all your relationships as you weather the inevitable storms that await us all. Let's see what Pastor Chris has to say to us today.
There's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather. Yeah.
A lot of my friends are married and they have kids, which it's got to be a lot, you know? Like they say, being a parent is a full-time job, but it seems more like a horrible unpaid internship. Yeah. Where like the first 5 years, you bring your boss lunch, and he just throws it on the ground half the time. How are you running this company? I would never accept that job in an interview. They'd be like, do you want this full-time job? Oh, well, what does it pay? Oh, you pay. Thousands. For at least 18 years, or you could go to jail. Well, what do I get out of it? You get judged for asking that question. What do you get out of it? You get love. For 13 years. Ten to 13 years. And then you get judged and resented for 5 to 10 years. And then you get love again, based on how much money you give them. I see my friends become parents, and I'm sure on the inside there's a lot of joy in that transition. But on the outside, I'm just like, oh. Like, what happened? Like, how do you know when to go to the doctor? Because you look sick every day. Seriously, like seeing them before and after, it's like a makeover commercial but reverse. Like you're after, but you look way before.
Welcome to our fall series, The Storm-Tossed Life, where we've been talking about all the different relationships that we have in this world and acknowledging the simple truth that our relationships can be a little bit stormy sometimes. We can encounter some stormy weather, and we're talking about how to understand what God's truth is for those relationships and unlock His truth for how we can move through these storm-tossed seasons together. And so today, yes, we are talking about parenting. Parenting, one of those relationships in life which I think is probably quite prone to storms. And one of the books that I read kind of getting ready for this message is this book by David E. Clark, and I love the title, and I actually borrowed it, because his book is called Parenting is Hard, and Then You Die. That's the name of this book, and I thought, you know what, I feel that sometimes. And so we're going to talk about this as our theme for today, and in fact, he opens his book, Dr. Clark does, with the 10 classic parenting mistakes. And as we go through this, parents, I think you might see yourself in here a couple of times. I know that I did, and we're just going to kind of move through these quickly to just give you food for thought, things to think about that you might be having areas of growth in your parenting. First of all, he says, number 10, the 10th parenting mistake is allowing the grandparents to rule. That you as parents are thinking, well, this is what I think is right for me, this is what I think is right for my family, but what is my mom going to say? What is my dad going to say? And parents start to change their decision based on what they think the grandparents are going to say. I hear this all the time when people talk about coming to faith. They're starting to realize, you know, the Jesus way is the only way, but what's grandma going to say? if we don't do the tradition? Or what's grandpa going to do if we don't do the party and they allow the grandparents to rule? Number 9, some people have to parent in a way to appease the ex. Some of you are in a relationship where you might be co-parenting with someone that you're no longer with, and now there's a lot of complexity that's been added because, well, I think things should be done a certain way, but I have this other complicated relationship now, and I can't really parent all, and I'm going to appease them, I'm going to give in. He says number 8 is what he calls the hero parent. The hero parent is all fun all the time. They are the cruise director. They are the activity monitor. They make sure that everything is fun and games and light. Nothing is ever serious. Nothing is ever real. You're just going to have a good time all the time. Why is it getting so quiet in here? It's like all of a sudden everyone's like, oh, shoot. Right, here we go. Number 7, he says, number 7 is choosing the kids over your spouse. You start to have disputes in the home. Debates in the home. And sometimes you realize, you know, you're going to have to choose between your kids and your spouse. And I can tell you, your kids are extremely gifted at finding any room between you and your spouse and just sliding in there, elbowing their way in just a little bit and go, well, mom said. Well, dad said. Well, mom said it's up to you. Well, dad said it's up to you. And then you have to make that choice. There's one person in your life that you had promised to be with for life. There's another one that God assigned to you. Right? Number 6. 10 classic parenting mistakes. Fighting in front of the kids. Now, every marriage has some storms. You're going to have some conversations. And I think if you, every time you have to talk about something you hide in secret, that can also be a little bit dysfunctional. But this is talking about really having a culture of combat in the home. And that the kids see this. And they say, wow, what's going on? And they can feel kind of unstable or unsure. Number 5. He says, a home where there is one parent in charge. In some ways, this interacts with the hero parent. Because if you have one hero parent who is the cruise director, then you usually end up having one parent who is the discipline warden, who has to keep things straight, keep things running, and that one parent is in charge, and the other parent, it's kind of like one of the kids along for the ride, just having fun. Number 4, it says, one classic parenting mistake is to have the step-parent doing discipline. If there's a step-parent culture in your home, step-parent relationships, you have to be very careful because different roots, different styles, different techniques. And so when you have a step-parent doing discipline, it can be much harder. Number 3, he says, both parents are too focused on the kids. We've actually bumped up at this a couple of different times, a couple of different ways in the last month. When a family says, listen, there is nothing that comes before our kids. They are at the top of this pyramid. That's actually a parenting mistake because your kids lose a sense of, first of all, of context. They become convinced that they're the center of the universe, and we've actually taught them that. Number 2 is that mom is too focused on the kids. The mom is too focused, moving away from other important relationships or elements or things that need to be taken care of in this life. And according to David Clark, the number one parenting mistake in all of American families today is this. The dad is not involved. And you will see families where dad is not involved, it's a lot to overcome. There's a lot to learn, and there's a lot that's missing in those relationships and in those homes. Now, we can't go deep on all 10 of those, but those are food for thought. You can start to think about this week as you're praying about the kind of parent that God is leading you into being. Because you know what? Parents, you play a lot of different roles. You're not just mom and dad. You might be stepmom, stepdad, but you're also a motivational speaker. You're an academic tutor. You're a car service. You're a counselor. You're a relationship manager. You're a laundry machine. You're a yard guru. I mean, you have all these roles that you play. And those are the roles that you play on your good days. So on your bad days, your parents are going to tell you that you're controlling, that you're mean, you're the mean monster, you're the one who puts them in prison, you take away all their privileges. When I was a kid, me and my siblings, we called my dad King Clean, because he always made us clean the house. And my friend, he called his mom No Fun Donna. Like, these are the titles that parents pick up. There are also other people who are in here today that you may not be a parent right now, or you may be a parent to some, but still mentoring others, because there are many other people in this life who pick up parenting type roles. You may be a coach. You may be a teacher. You may be a youth mentor. You may be a youth pastor. All these different types of roles where you're pouring into children in these types of roles. But there's a role that I want to talk about today that I don't think we've given enough consideration. A title that you can take on as a parent that I think will define the type of relationship that God is instructing us to have with our children. And that is the title of ambassador. You can be an ambassador for God to your children. And picture what an ambassador does. Think of a political ambassador. You know, an ambassador serves to be a go-between between one very significant entity and another. You know, in politics, you're going to be ambassador. You know, a president will send you out, or a prime minister, or maybe even a king, and you're going to be their official representative to this other party. And you're representing the parties to each other. So if you were an ambassador for the United States, you would be sent out by the president. The president would say, you're serving me in this other place, in this other region, in this other country, to explain what we want, to explain what we're looking for, and also to manage that relationship. And also to speak for this smaller country to bring back to the president their needs, their wishes, and their conversation. It's very much an emissary who's charged with bringing two entities together, keeping them in constant and clear communication. And see, as parents, we have a sense of that, but oftentimes instead of being ambassadors of our children, we often think of ourselves more so as owners. That we are the ones responsible for owning them, and not in a way that shows lack of purpose, but quite the opposite. That we say, listen, I have such incredible investment, such incredible authority, such an incredible desire to see them succeed, that I'm going to own this. I'm going to take it all upon myself. But I was reading this book by Paul David Tripp. It's called 14 Gospel Principles That Can Radically Change Your Parenting. And he said this that I found very insightful. So good parenting, which does what God intends it to do, begins with the radical and humbling recognition that our children don't actually belong to us. Rather, every child in every home, everywhere on the globe, belongs to the one who created him or her. So an owner says, this is my child. An ambassador says, this is God's child that he has entrusted to my care. And have the opportunity to represent God to this child and to bring the needs of this child before a Heavenly Father. And we're going to start to see this unpacked actually in the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to look at chapter 5 and also chapter 6. And I'm going to be reading from the English Standard Version today. This is an interesting part of Scripture. Deuteronomy is written by Moses. Okay, and he wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. This is the last book that he wrote. And in Deuteronomy, he repeats a lot of what has been said before. In fact, if you look at Deuteronomy, this book mostly consists of speeches by Moses, which is fairly ironic because if you're familiar with the story of Moses, you know that at the burning bush, he told God, he said, listen, I'm not a very good speaker. And by the end of he's like lecturing an entire book of Deuteronomy out loud. That's how God can use you, by the way, if you humble yourself before him. But that's a sermon for another day. In Deuteronomy, he's repeating a lot of what he has said before. And one thing he repeats is the Ten Commandments. See, the Ten Commandments have already been stated back in Exodus 20. And here in Deuteronomy 5, Moses states them again. And he's working his way through the Ten Commandments, and he gets to number 5, which is this. Commandment number 5, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. So he's talking about this parent-child relationship that we are. And in this way, he instructs the children. He says to the children, you are going to need to honor your father and your mother as the Lord commanded you so that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God has given you. He's saying when you honor your father and mother, you will then be able to walk into the destiny, into the purpose, and into the calling of God on your life. And he's instructing the children so that they can see that their parents following them, honoring them, is going to move them into the fulfillment of what God has for them in their life. And when you step back a little bit and you look at the Ten Commandments, you can start to see this sense of ambassadorship that really comes up, okay? Because the ordering of the Ten Commandments, I think, is intentional and critical, okay? Because it starts with understanding how we relate to God. The first commandment is there's going to be one God. The second commandment is we're not going to do idols or images. There's not going to be anything else that represents God or stands in God's place. The third commandment says you're going to honor God's name. Then the fourth commandment says you're going to honor God's day. They're all about how mankind is going to relate to our Heavenly Father. That we're going to honor Him fully by knowing that there is one God, never making an idol or an image, and honoring His name and honoring His day. Then, if you go to number 6, it starts by how we're going to live relating to each other. So it says, first of all, no murder. That's not a good way to treat people. Also, no adultery. It's not a good way to treat your wife or someone else's wife. Then he says, don't steal. He says, don't lie, and don't be jealous. Okay, those are 9 out of the 10 commandments. These 4, all about how we're going to relate to God. These 5, all about how we're going to relate to the other people in this world. And what stands in between? What is commandment number 5 that's right here in this tension between these two groups? It is parents and children. This is not by accident. You can see that it's the relationship between when we learn how to honor our Heavenly Father and then learn how to live in this world. The link between them, what connects those two thoughts, is the parent-child relationship. That in the early days especially, the parents are showing what it looks like for their children to follow God. And they're demonstrating His love and His conduct in this world today. Because as ambassadors, it is our job to be the bridge between God and our children. That's what an ambassador does. They're a link in the chain between parents and children. Now, I told you before, Moses is restating a lot of what he has already said. Now, why is he doing that? Well, Moses knows that he's about to die. God has told them, you're not going to be going into the promised land. You're not going to be part of that next phase in the journey of my people. You're going to end here. And so Moses has them all camped out, and he's giving these speeches, and he's telling them what they've learned before. He's reminding them, but why is he reminding them? It's not just because he's worried they're going to forget. He makes a very important point in the next chapter, in chapter 6, 3 different times, 3 different ways. He says, now this is the commandment. He's talking about the 10 commandments. The statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son. He's starting to talk about legacy. The reason he's repeating himself is he says, we need to tell this to the children. Just a few verses later. These are the words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Says later in the chapter, one day your son asks you in time to come, what is the meaning of the testimonies and the statutes and the rules that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your son or to your children. See, Moses is repeating himself, not just so that everyone can remember, but he's passing it on to the next generation. Almost 40 years have passed between the first time that he gave the Ten Commandments and the second time. Sometimes I wonder how I would have felt if I was one of the Levites who had been carrying the Ark of the Covenant. You know, the Ten Commandments were already written in stone. Okay, that's not a metaphor. That's true. They were written in stone. And then some guys had to carry those stone tablets around. They always look very regal when you see like these old illustrations of them. But just think about how fun that was to carry the rocks. So imagine you were those Levites and Moses is like, listen, let me tell you about the Ten Commandments. And they're like, bro, we have them right here. We've been carrying them for like 38 years. He says, listen, I'm going to teach this to you like it's brand new. Why? Because Moses is saying to them, we must pass this on. Saying it's incredibly important that you're passing on God's ways to the next generation. Critically important. Because an ambassador teaches children to live God's way. This sounds simple. But it can be difficult. Because an owner doesn't teach children to live God's way. You will teach them to live your way. Say, listen, if you will live like me, it will go well with you. But an ambassador doesn't do that. An ambassador doesn't say, you need to walk down the road that I walk down. You need to walk down the path that I've been in. You need to follow my ways. An ambassador says, no, you need to live God's way. An ambassador will help those children to unpack what God's way is going to look like in their life. And you can see the contrast between ambassador parents and owner parents, and some very clear themes, some of which we've talked about a lot this fall because they're central to relationships. See, owner parents versus ambassador parents will see identity, success, and reputation in very different ways. Identity. An owner parent will pull their identity from their children. Who their children are becoming, will start to define their sense of purpose, their sense of mission, their sense of personhood as an adult. They will start to pull that from their children. This is a very bad idea. Do you know why? Your children, the children that you have raised, they are sinners. I have met them. Your children are sinners. They sin all the time. They do things and they say things. The only children worse than your children are my children. Okay, these children, they are sinners. So if we start to pull our identity out of imperfect people who are still learning what it looks like to figure out this world, who are still learning who they're going to be, who are still figuring it all out. If you, as an adult, pull your sense of identity from a child, any child, your child, it will always fall short. Because an ambassador parent will find your identity not in the one you are sent to, but in the one you are sent from. Because it is your honor to represent Christ to your beautiful, perfect children, who I love. The only children better than your children are my children, okay? Because you have that sense, but your identity comes not from them. It comes from the Creator who made you. Or the sense of success. Owner parents are going to have a lot riding on the success of their children, and you can spot them very quickly. These are often your coach dads, your dance moms, your academic superstars. Their success of that child, they're going to measure the results of their parenting are going to be measured by NWEA scores. They're going to be measured by batting stats. They're going to be measured by where they stand in the dance troupe. That's how they're going to define the success that they have as marriage, as a person. But if you define your success by the results of your children, you're missing the mark. Success as a parent is walking into the ambassadorship and the calling that God has placed in your life. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes great parenting doesn't even lead to great kids because they're going to make their own choices. And if you're defining your success as a parent in the results of your children, that's an owner's mentality. Or what about a sense of reputation? Some families base their reputation on the reputation of the children. And you might have heard growing up, you know, you don't bring shame on this family, or don't embarrass me. Or you have that sense of, listen, who we are as a family, it's going to be out in the open. And that reputation, they start to hide it because it has to be based on their children. An ambassador parent knows the children are going to do some embarrassing stuff from time to time. It's going to happen. And they don't wear it. They walk forward in it. They grow. This is one of those, are you really wearing that kind of moment? Sometimes you just got to let that go. And an ambassador says, this is a longer opportunity to represent. Because we want to find that difference between owners and ambassadors. So as you are learning to teach your children, what is your goal for your children? Is your goal for your children that they will behave? Listen, I remember, I have great parents, but I remember as a kid, Chris, you need to behave, right? They said that plenty, believe me, okay? Is that your goal as a parent, that your kids will learn to behave, to be well-behaved, to be proper, to be social? It's a very dangerous road to go down if your goal is to help your children to be well-behaved. Okay, first of all, many, not all, not your kid, but all the other kids, many well-behaved kids are actually just highly skilled at playing the game. They know how to push the right buttons to get the response that they want from you. They know how to look good in front of others, but inside, they're a completely different person. They've learned how to put on a show that you or others might approve of. But inside, there's a shortcoming that's happening. And those children, when they are finally out from under your ownership, they will often implode. Because suddenly no one is making them behave, and they never learned anything else. So children who are well-behaved sometimes just know how to play the game. That's why Russell Moore, he said it this way, a well-behaved person is sometimes closest to hell. Because I would submit to you that sometimes someone who's very well behaved has yet to grapple with the deep and real things of life. They've yet to go deep. Parents, your children need to rebel a little bit. And I know your parents are in here. They heard me say it, kids, right? You gotta give them a little bit of room. Because if they don't learn, if they don't grow, if they don't have that sense, it's going to come at some point. And do you want to guide them through it? Or do you want to be a distant observer? The other part about being well-behaved is that if you have a child that has been brought under a behavioral submission viewpoint, there's a very good chance they will not know how to stand up for what is right in this world. There's a very good chance that they will be subjected under any authority that comes their way. They will be subjected to any viewpoint. They'll be a victim of any strong leader or any strong structure because they've never learned how to stand up for themselves, never learned how to stand on their own two feet. They've never learned how to step outside just a little bit. Because if you're seeking that they would learn to behave, I believe that you'll fall short as an ambassador parent. Instead of teaching your children to behave, I believe you need to teach your children to repent. Repentance is one of the most important examples of Christ that you can instill in your children. Because things are going to happen. Things are going to happen in your home. Things are going to happen outside the home. Things are going to happen in their relationships. Things are going to happen in their schooling, in their club, in their activity, in their extracurricular, in their sport. Things are going to happen when they go to college. And how are they going to respond to those things? If they're going to respond with the shame and regret of having failed the behavior test, then they're not going to be moving towards the person of Christ. But if they learn to repent, see, it's the sense of godly sorrow that leads to repentance. Because there are two essential pieces to repentance. And if you are not doing both, you're not repenting. The first is that sense to say, I failed. This should not have happened. I have fallen short. In recognition of that, true repentance will say, I've fallen short of God's standard. There's a way that God wants me to live my life, and I failed it. But the next part of repentance is the intentional turning. It says, I'm not going that way again. I'm going to walk a new path in the Spirit's equipping. And if we can teach our children to repent, then they will begin walking forward into the life that God has called them into. So how do you teach children to repent? One word, discipline. You need discipline in your home. Discipline is the tool that teaches repentance. It is the structure, it is the order, it is the environment, it is the weather system that will teach your children what repentance looks like. And the scriptures are full of direction about discipline. It says in Proverbs 13, those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Think about that statement. If you as a parent know what your child needs in order to grow, you're aware of what they need in order to step forward into what God is calling them into, and you withhold it from them. You have that vital information that can help them to grow into the girl or the boy that God has created them to be, and you decide not to give it, whether it's out of insecurity, whether it's out of fear, whether it's out of spite because you're in an argument, whether it's out of whatever motivation, you withhold that vital information. That is one of the most unloving things you can do as a parent. To withhold from your children that which is necessary for them to grow. It says it this way later in the same book. It says, discipline your children and they will give you peace of mind and will make your heart glad. So anybody else interested in peace of mind and a glad heart? Now, what do we mean by discipline? Don't get carried away and think that by discipline I'm saying you need to hand out a lot more punishment. That might be the case. You really need to sit down and consider the culture in your own home under the Spirit's leading. But discipline is almost exactly the same as the word disciple. Okay? So it's not just about punishment. It's often even more so about creating structure and order in your home so that your children learn to live in that way in a godly and a biblical way as they're embracing that disciplined culture that you've created in your home. You know, there used to be this incredible tool that parents had in order to teach this disciplined life. I mean, it was second to none. It produced better character than almost anything else you can think of. And this incredible, innovative, groundbreaking parenting technique is called chores. Does anyone here remember doing chores? No. No one in here did chores? Not one person? Ah, yes, here we go. We're starting to see some chores. How many of you hate raising your hand in church? Ah, yeah, exactly. Your children need to live in that disciplined structure. I used to tease my kids when I would make them do chores. I still do, but I used to tease them more. And I would call it life skills training. They would roll their eyes and be like, hey, it's life skills training night. Tonight, we're going to load a dishwasher, right? Here's where the plates go. Here's where the cups go. That's got to be pre-rinse. Another life skills training night. Here's how you use the washing machine, right? Here's how you use the air fryer, right? And they used to roll their eyes, but they had to do it because I'm dad, right? Well, fast forward a few years. My boys are both in high school now, allegedly taller than me, both of them. They're progressing in some ways through life, right? And what do I see now? Well, you know, sometimes when they get hungry, they just go downstairs and they cook something. I'm like, that's weird. Or like, yeah, they're worried they don't have a uniform for tomorrow, whether it's the school uniform or the baseball uniform. Oh, they throw it in the washer. I'm like, wow. Just starting to learn a little bit what that discipline like is life. Parents, I think sometimes you want to serve your children. You want them to see humility and service honored in you, and so you're doing a lot of those things for them. Allow them to learn. Allow them to grow. Allow them to have that structure. Because when you have a culture of discipline in your home, not only will they learn to live the right way, but they will get that sense again of what it feels like to step out of line with God's way and to be brought back into that sense of fatherhood under their heavenly Father in that sense of repentance. In fact, I read this quote, and it was so profound to me, and it's extended. I just want to read it to you. Again, it's in Russell Moore's book, The Storm-Tossed Family. He said this. He said, the goal of our parenting is not compliance. Children who learn to yield to a stronger power. The goal of our parenting is the right kind of fighting. We want children who love the kingdom God is promising and who kick back against the occupying force of this present darkness. We discipline not so that we can teach our children what to do and what not to do, so much as we discipline to teach them where to go when they fail at that, or rather to whom they should go. That requires a parenting that keeps the gospel in view, where justice and love, truth and grace meet in the crucified Christ. We don't want well-behaved robots. We want mature Christians who've learned to repent, who've learned to turn from those ways and learn to follow God's will into the future for them. Now, there's one part of this ambassador image that I want to speak to, because in politics or brand ambassadors and others, the ambassador is always there. It's an intentional buffer that never goes away. Ambassador parents are different, because ambassador parents will work themselves out of a job. See, when your children are young, you very much are a go-between between them and God. Not theologically, they always have direct access to God, but from a maturity standpoint, they need you to stand in that place. They need you to show them what a good, perfect Heavenly Father looks like. They need you to be going to the Father on their behalf and praying for them. But an ambassador will be moving to connect them directly with the Father himself. Because what will happen is when your children have learned to have a direct connection with the Father himself through the person of Christ, then they will be equipped to be an ambassador for others. They'll be equipped to point their own children towards Christ. They'll be equipped to point their friends, point their colleagues, point their neighbors, point their classmates towards Christ, because they are now their own trained, certified ambassador. So parents, I want to encourage you this morning. I see how much you've turned out here. If you're joining us online, there's like no seats left in this room. These parents are here because they love their children and they want to grow in this. And I just want to encourage you. And I want to remind you one of the best parts of being an ambassador. You are never doing this by yourself. God has not abandoned you and left you and said, this is your project, this is your problem. But he is in your life fully and completely to equip you in this struggle, to equip you in this storm. When you're waiting up late at night, wondering what time they're finally going to come home, you're not sitting there alone. When you're worrying because they're at school and they're racked with anxiety over tests and over relationships, you're not sitting there alone. The Spirit is with you. when they're sick, when they're struggling, when they're grown and flown. You are not alone in that. The Spirit is with you. There is another who has come alongside you that is equipping you every day. An ambassador always sits under the authority and the protection of one greater than herself. So parents, be encouraged. I think you're doing a great job. Your kids are turning out better than you think. We're going to train them up now in the ways of God, and when they're old, they're not going to depart from it. And we're going to pray for you and your families that you would continue to grow in this culture of repentance, that God would use you in their lives to do incredible things. Let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and for this opportunity to go deep in your word. Father, I want to lift up to you specifically this morning the parents, those who are in this room, those who are in our online community, those who interact with this teaching at some point this week. God, we lift up to you each and every one of these parents. Because God, it's often a storm. It's often a struggle. Teach us to constantly reorient ourselves to be ambassadors of God, to give these children back to you because they were always yours. God, we don't own them. You've loaned them to us for a season. God, we receive that responsibility from you. God, I think specifically this morning of parents who are in a tough season with their kids. Their kids might be still home. Their kids might be out and about. There's tension. There's difficulty. God, so many of us, when we look at the scriptural standard, we're just reminded of all the times we've fallen short, all the stupid ownership things we've said, all the times when we ourselves have been immature, we've been petty, we've been vindictive. But God, I thank you for your amazing grace. I thank you that you meet us in those moments of weakness. I thank you, God, that you're drawing us to yourself. The laboratory of parenthood can refine us in our own character that we would be more like our Savior. God, I pray for the children of this church. God, many of which are downstairs right now. God, I pray that you would be raising up from this congregation incredible leaders. God, future missionaries, future teachers, future pastors, future CEOs, future business owners. God, future disciplers. They would go out from this place and do incredible things for you. They would have impact. They would have purpose. They would fulfill the destiny that you have on their lives. God, I think of those kids who are in transition points, whether they're changing schools, whether they're changing jobs. God, I pray that you would be with them because in those moments of transition is when we need you most. Be with the children today, God. This is a very difficult era in which to grow up. God, help us as parents to level up. I pray that those children will walk forward into the destiny and the purpose that you have for them. And God, equip us in this. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us today. You can find our sermon library at eileenchristian.com. And if you'd like to visit us in person, you can find us at 400 Elwood Road, East Northport. Sunday services are at 9 and 11. See you soon.